Hallelujah. Christ is risen. You do not know how to respond, right? Okay, this is what you will do, okay? When I say hallelujah, Christ is risen, you will respond, Christ is risen? Indeed. Okay, let's do this. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Amen. Christ is risen indeed. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you that we serve a living Savior. Lord, we thank you that you are not dead, but you are alive. You are the only God who is alive. You are the only living and true God. And we want to worship you. Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for our sins, saving us from damnation. And we want to worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Easter is the celebration of the victory over death, sin, and division. This Lent season, we have considered the serving king. And today we want to consider the serving king of the Sabbath. So when you hear me mention Sabbath, what comes to mind? Okay, tell your neighbor. Okay, because some of you want to say something already. Huh? Okay, tell your neighbor. Quick one. One word, two words, three words. How many words? Okay, quickly tell your neighbor. And your neighbor also should respond to you. Okay? Thank you for doing that. Some of you, first time in church, do not know what is the Sabbath. It is all right. Okay, it's perfectly all right. Because there was once I went to church for the first time too. You know, I went to a youth retreat, you know, a youth camp. And then everybody was very into it, you know. And then on the first day I received the camper, I turned to the program page. You know, this was back in 1984. So to give you some context, stop doing your math. I'm quite old already. Okay, so this is back in 1984 when Michael Jackson was becoming popular. Okay, and then one of the workshops that they have in the program was how to backslide. You know, for a Christian, we understand what is backslide. Backslide means you have fallen away from your faith. Okay, you're supposed to be very hot and passionate for your faith, your beliefs are very firm, but then over time, if you do not maintain your spiritual disciplines, you backslide. Okay? But to a first-timer in the camp, you know what I was thinking? I said, wow, this youth camp very cool. They teach you breakdancing. They even have a workshop on how to backslide. I was wondering to myself, are they going to teach head spin as well? So forgive me if some of these Christian jargons come out, you know. But what is the Sabbath? What is the Sabbath? What comes to mind when we talk about the Sabbath? Some of the words may be rest, Lord's Day, Sunday, Saturday, commandment, sabbatical, church, temple, dressing nicely, etc., etc. All these are correct. And it is possible because of the serving king of the Sabbath. Jesus is the serving king of the Sabbath. Jesus has come to give us rest. Jesus has become the object or the person of our worship. All these are correct. You may worship him on Sunday or Saturday. It is fine. The serving king is a title that is quite an oxymoron. Why do I say oxymoron? Okay, perhaps another more familiar term that we often use is servant leader. Also a bit of an oxymoron, right? Why is the serving king or servant king an oxymoron? Because the king usually doesn't serve. He sits on the throne and people serve him, right? And we, the mere peasants, are at his beck and call. When he summons you, you jolly well come to him in double quick time or triple quick time, right? And if he asks you to do something, we have to perform it. And if he doesn't like your presence, he dismisses you and you jolly well leave his temple or his hall, right? Why? Because if you don't leave fast enough, your head will roll. That is the king. But here, Jesus is the serving king. Why? Because he came from heaven to serve you. In his birth, he was born into a lowly manger. When he first started ministry, he was tempted, right? We all know that story, right? After 40 days of fasting, he was brought up to the temple and he was asked by the evil one, jump from the temple. I do not know about you, but if it's me, I would jump from the temple. You know why? Because I know that my Father will send angels to come and carry me. Wow, so spectacular, you know. And then I will rule over the entire nations. So spectacular, you know. But we thank God that God or Jesus didn't do that. Jesus said, do not tempt the Lord. He came to serve us. He didn't come to serve himself. When he began teaching, when he had performed miracles, it was for the people. But at the same time, it was to authenticate that he is the Son of God who is able to perform miracles. And then he washed his disciples' feet. Which king would wash your feet? Not many people. Last year during the Passion Prayer, you know, there was this program where the pastors washed the feet of everyone who came for the prayer time. Some members say, no, you know, don't wash my feet, Pastor, you cannot wash my feet. Actually, the same thing happened to Peter, wasn't it? Peter said, Lord, you cannot wash my feet. And then Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you are not one of mine, you know. And then what did Peter say? Wash my whole body. I'm not making this up. This is in the Bible, you know. He came to serve us. To what extent did he come to serve us? He went to court, accused, died on the cross, a criminal's death for you and I. Jesus indeed is your serving king of the Sabbath. And because he has accomplished that, we are supposed to experience rest. Our passage is Isaiah 56, verse 1 to 8. I will read it for us once through so that you can get the whole context before we go highlight on certain verses. Isaiah 56, verse 1 says this, this is what the Lord says, maintain justice and do what is right. For my salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Isaiah is writing to the Jewish people back then. Huh? Blessed is the one who does this, the person who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it, and keeps their hands from doing any evil. Let no foreigner, that means non-Jew, okay, non-Jew, let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. And let no eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. For this is what the Lord says to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its wall a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and who hold fast to my covenant, These I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The sovereign Lord declares, He who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them beside those already gathered. This is the word of God. In Isaiah 56, verse 1 to 8, God promises salvation not just for Israel, but for all nations. This passage connects the role of Jesus as the serving king of the Sabbath. And what does he do? He brings true rest. He brings inclusion and there's restoration through his death and resurrection to everyone. I sense today that all of us are restless. Is that true of you? Are you restless? Today we need true rest. We are all tired in Singapore. Our calendar, our schedule is full. If it is not full, we want to make it full. Right? And we rush here, we rush there. And sometimes I wonder whether we are Singaporeans or Russians. We are rushing everywhere, even to worship on Sundays, we rush. Right? Because we are so tired, we must sleep to the last minute. Right? And then wake up. And then rush and brush our teeth, get ourselves ready, rush to the car, drive quickly. Nobody can block me, you know, just in case I get stuck on the next red light, you know, and so on. And then you come here, hopefully you find parking. If you don't find parking, you rush to find parking at the HDB. And then because of that, you are late, you rush. And then arrive with your heartbeat above 100 to rest in the Lord. That's why I say we are restless. But beyond that physical rest that we need spiritual rest. Because our souls are restless. We are not satisfied. Our inner man cries out, more. Lord, I want more. So what do? We think that we need a holiday. We think we need a little bit more sleep. We think we need a little bit more help at work or school, for that matter, for those that are studying. We need a sabbatical. We are all restless. But truth be told, Pastor Isaac is on sabbatical. Huh? When he comes back end of May, guess what? He has a very full inbox waiting for him. Have you ever gone for a holiday and then you come back more tired than before you went? That's the irony of life, right? Have you come to church and then left church feeling more restless? We had a very busy week this past week in church, just in case you do not know. It started on Wednesday, Passion Prayer. Thursday, Passion Prayer. Then we had a Friday CPR. Then last night, we had a service. And today, of course, is the service. And we had a very short working week. You know, the pastors work very hard. So much so that two of them are on MC this weekend. So not only you, the pastors are also restless, you know. I prepared this sermon some time back, you know, but yesterday I was restless. Yesterday afternoon, I went to take a nap and then I wake up. And then I say, I must go to my sermon. That is how we are. We are restless. And that is why God gave us the Sabbath. The Jewish people that Isaiah was writing to were Jewish. And this is what the Jewish observe regarding their Sabbath law. And they observe this religiously, okay? And these are some of the very basic things. I'm going to share with you very basic things. There are more complex laws that they govern. They are to refrain on their Sabbath, okay? Writing. Okay? Writing. You cannot write anything. You cannot erase what you have written. You cannot tear the paper, okay, that you don't like. Business transaction. You cannot have business transactions. You cannot be driving or riding in cars or any other vehicles. I'm not making this up, okay? You can go and Google it or ask ChatGPT, okay? You cannot go shopping. You cannot be using the telephone. Wow, this one big one. You mean in church cannot use telephone to see Bible? Okay, we will get to that later, okay? Turning on or off anything that uses electricity, including lights, radios, television, computers, air conditioners, and alarm clocks. Cooking, baking, or kindling a fire. How to cook lunch? Huh? Gardening and grass mowing, doing laundry, etc., etc. When I went through this list, I told God, God, if I'm Jewish, I'm guilty as charged. I don't need the Pharisees to come and catch me, you know. Because from the moment I wake up, I will be breaking the laws of the Sabbath. How do I wake up on Sunday morning? My alarm clock will ring at 7 a.m. When my alarm clock rings, what must I do? I must turn it off, lah. That's the first breaking of the Sabbath law. I have to walk to my toilet and switch on the light. Another breaking of the Sabbath law. And then I turn off my electric toothbrush. Another breaking of Sabbath law. Before I walk out of the toilet, I do not know how many laws have I broken. I think we are all the same. So as I was reflecting on this, I was saying, "Wah, heng, I'm not Jewish. I'm not Jewish." But at the same time, realize this. We are all lawbreakers in one way or another. If you look at the Ten Commandments, you straight away will see that we are lawbreakers. Right? We don't have to murder someone. You don't have to commit armed robbery or sell heroin to be a lawbreaker. Every driver here is a lawbreaker. In Singapore. Right or not? Traffic police don't have to catch you. We all know. Nobody drives 50 on the normal road in Singapore. Right? And if you drive on the expressway, you will know what I mean. No trucks will drive on the leftmost lane. Everybody will go as right as possible. Because everybody thinks that we are driving very fast. Those that are driving slow will be breaking the law by road hogging. Those that are going above the speed limit will be breaking the law by speeding. All of us are lawbreakers. None of us can keep the law perfectly. These are just the basic refrains that helps the Jews rest. But Jesus shows us that it is ultimately about restoration, reconciliation, and relationship with God. Laws are very tiring to keep. Yet sometimes church tradition have some laws. Right? Right or not? Pastor, why must worship be 7 p.m. on Saturday? Pastor, why must worship be 10 a.m. on Sunday? Pastor, why come to church cannot wear slippers and swimming trunk? A bit extreme, but you get what I mean, right? There are some rules and some laws everywhere. We thank God that Jesus came. It is not just about observing the laws. It is not just about observing the Sabbath law. It is coming to rest in God. On Easter, we see how the sacrifice of Jesus and his resurrection usher in the ultimate Sabbath rest. And what is that? Salvation for all people. We must experience and receive his salvation to experience rest. First point, Jesus brings true rest and true salvation. Just the first verse of Isaiah 56 says this, thus says the Lord, or this is what the Lord says, maintain justice, do what is right. For my salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Here we can observe a few things. First, the promise of salvation. Isaiah speaks of a coming salvation that will be for all who seek God's righteousness. That is God's promise. The true salvation is going to come. If you are restless, seek for salvation and you will surely find it. This is not just for the non-Jewish or the non-Christians. We, Christians who are restless, there's a coming salvation. Because we are living in the already, but not yet. The true salvation is going to come. True salvation is fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus, the serving King, fulfilled this promise by dying and rising again from the dead. And he makes this salvation available to everyone. The famous verse, John 3:16 says this, for God so loved the world, everyone, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes, everyone who believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Jesus is the serving King and it is available to everyone. The true Sabbath rest is found in the person of Jesus. Jesus is our Sabbath rest. He offers eternal peace with God. And Jesus invites us to come. Come. Matthew 11 verse 28 says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and if I may add, restless, and I will give you rest. This is God's invitation to you and me. If you are restless, come to Jesus. But sometimes we feel like I'm not deserving of this. I feel like an outsider, especially if you are first time in church today. You feel like you're an outsider. That was how I felt when I attended the youth camp back in 1984. You know, they have been meeting together for so long, and then I was the visitor, I was the outsider. You may think that this promise is good for others, not for me. This is for the Christians who come to church every Sunday. They will experience rest, but not me, because I'm a sinner. You may feel that you don't belong here. You may feel that, wow, everybody's so holy, you know, I'm the only sinner. How does Pastor Leonard know this? Because I felt this too when I first came to church. I have friends too who tell me, Pastor, the church is for people who are holy, you know, but I still drink beer, I still buy 4D, you know. Let me sort out my life first, you know. Once my life is sorted out, then when I'm ready, I will go to church. Have you met such people? Perhaps you are feeling the same way. You feel like an outsider. Friends, the good news is this. Jesus includes the outsiders. All of us at one point of time was an outsider. Jesus includes the outsider. Isaiah 56 verse 3 says this, let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. The Lord will not exclude anyone from his people. The church will not exclude you just because you are different. We are inclusive. We may be different, yes, but we must be inclusive because the Lord is inclusive. During the time of Jesus, outsiders, who are the outsiders? The non-Jewish Gentiles, the broken, the rejected, the sinners. They were excluded from temple worship. That means to say, even if they want to go to the temple to worship, they cannot. But Jesus, the serving king, broke down the barriers. He welcomes sinners, tax collectors, the sick, and the outcast. In the Gospels, we read of the ministry of Jesus, his life and his ministry. When he was on earth, whatever he did is recorded for us. Some of it is recorded for us in the Gospels. I'm sure not everything is there, but most of the important events are there. We often see Jesus ministering to sinners. We often see Jesus eating in the house of tax collectors. In fact, Jesus was spending so much time with the sinners that he was accused by the Pharisees. Say, why are you always eating and spending your time with sinners? His reply is very interesting, found in Mark chapter 2, verse 17. On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who needs a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Friends, this is what the church is all about. The business of Jesus is to come and call sinners back to himself. So friends, if you feel that you are a sinner, Jesus has included you. When Jesus died on the cross on the very first Good Friday, the temple veil was torn. And Matthew records this for us in the Gospel according to Matthew, Matthew chapter 27, verse 51. At that moment, the death of Jesus, when he breathed his last breath, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook, and the rocks split. Not like today, when the earth shake, building collapse. Last time got no buildings. So last time, you know, it is just very common when there's an earthquake and that's it. But on that special occasion, the rocks split. This significant moment signifies that all people, Jews and Gentiles, now can enter into the presence of God freely, as opposed to only once in a year where the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies. Now, we can commune with God freely. In fact, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy of Holies is now us. Wow. Is that awesome or what? A great responsibility, isn't it? Returning back to our text in Isaiah 56, verse 7, he says, "My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." I have highlighted the phrase, "a house of prayer for all nations." What does it say? It includes you and me, all nations. It includes Singapore. Singapore is a nation. It includes the inhabitants of Singapore. It includes Malaysia. It includes Indonesia. It includes all nations. A house of prayer. Jesus himself quotes this verse when he came and he cleansed the temple. That was the first thing he did when he entered Jerusalem. On Palm Sunday, they were waving the palm, welcoming him into Jerusalem in his triumphant entry. The first thing he did, he went to the temple and then he flipped table. He cleansed the temple. Why? Business transaction happening. And he said, you have made my temple, my house, into a den of thieves. My house should be a house of prayer for all nations. He quoted this. This emphasizes God's kingdom is for everyone. Jesus came for everyone, including me and you. You specifically. If you are hearing this for the first time, Jesus came for you. This Lent season, realize this. Jesus came as King to serve you and to die for you. Jesus came to gather us back to himself. Yesterday, just before prayer with the worship team, the Lord brought this to my mind. It is a quote by St. Augustine in his Confession. Let me try and see. Yeah. St. Augustine, the church father, in his Confession 1.1.1, the first confession is this. Because you have made us for yourself. Because God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until we find our rest in you. I say that again. Because you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you. If you are restless, find your rest in the one who made you. Jesus is the King who comes and serves us. Jesus is the one that our Creator has sent as his means to reconcile us back to himself. Verse 8 says this, the Sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them beside those already gathered. Yes, the primary people that Jesus came for are the Jews. But not just the Jews. It includes you and me and others as well. Jesus came as the serving king. Mark chapter 10 verse 45 says this, for even the Son of Man, referring to Jesus, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That is how Jesus served you. He gave his life as a ransom. I want us to focus on the word ransom. When do you have a ransom? When there's a kidnap, right? Only when there's a kidnap, then there's a ransom, right? That means to say, you and I, the son and daughters of the king, have been kidnapped by Satan. Satan lures you into thinking that you deserve better. Sometime last year, I read this article. I can't remember where. It's either online or on the newspaper. Someone was scammed. Nowadays, a lot of scam, right? Every other week, I receive a phone call or a text or something from a scammer. Have you received something recently? Have, right, huh? This person was offered a high-paying job in Bangkok. So he borrowed money from his friends and relatives and he bought a plane ticket to Bangkok. And he was received by the representative of the company that's supposed to employ him. Put him in a taxi and then the taxi drove to Myanmar. Once there, he was placed in a guarded compound. they had armed guards like prison. And he was forced to make scam calls for the syndicate. He was watched 24/7 and he had no contact with the outside world. He was given food, but if he was not able to hit his target, his captors would punish him. Many would try to escape. Those who were caught unsuccessful and caught would be manhandled by the captors. And some of them died because of that. He was one of the lucky few who risked his life and escaped. And he shares this with others, hoping that others will be warned not to be scammed. If only he was aware of the scheme of the syndicate. If only he wasn't that greedy. If only. Friends, similarly, don't buy into Satan's lies. Satan is a scammer. This world is his syndicate. He offers you a good life, high-paying job. And he says, work hard, enjoy life, eat, drink, and be merry. Forget about God. Just enjoy the here and now. Why you think so far? Make your dollar. You will be king. You will have endless pleasures and luxury and comfort. You can buy your big houses. You can buy your big cars, numerous cars. And then you can enjoy your luxurious meals. You are in control. Use people. Climb the corporate ladder. And live your life. You deserve it. Go for holidays when you burn out. Fly first class, business class, whatever class. You don't need God. You are in control. You have what you need. Friends, don't be scammed by Satan. Because he's after your soul. This world belongs to him. You have been kidnapped. And that is why God needs to send a ransom. God needs to make payment so that you and I can be free. And that ransom is Jesus Christ. On Good Friday, he laid down his life. He served us. Realize this. The wages of sin is death. We are all sinners. We sin when we disobey God. We have a conscience. We know that we are sinful people. The penalty of sin is death. The one on the cross that is suffering for the sin ought to be me and you. But Jesus, our ransom, went to the cross and died in our place. And that's why we are free. Suppose I were to break the law. I'm summoned to court on a particular Friday. And I was passed judgment and I was sentenced to a fine of 20,000. I don't have money to pay that 20,000. And then something surprising happens. The judge who passed the sentence took off his cloak, walked down from his chair, went to the cashier and pay now the cashier 20,000. And then he turns to me and he says, son, you are free to go. What will be my response? I will run out of court telling him thank you as I run out of court. Right? That is what Jesus did for us. That is what God did for us. He must judge sin. And he paid the penalty for it with the life of Jesus. That is why that Friday is so good. Only a good God can give us a Good Friday. On Easter Sunday, he rose, he defeated death, and he gathered people to himself. That is why we celebrate Easter. On the first Easter, 3 days after Jesus died, he rose from the dead just as he prophesied. None of us know our death date. I tried looking for my death date. You know where I look? Under my feet. Left feet, don't have. Right feet, maybe have, don't have. Nobody knows our death date. Right? If anybody were to come to you and say, Pastor Leonard, I'm going to die on such and such a date, and then 3 days later, I rise from the dead. You know what I'll do? I'll send him to the psychiatrist. Or maybe I pray over him first, cast the demon out. Something very wrong, right? Nobody in his right mind will tell you his death date. And then, not only stopping there, tell you that 3 days later, I will rise again from the dead. If somebody tells you that, you wait for the person to die, lo, right? Or if he dies on that date, 3 days later, see whether he rises again or not. If he does that, you know what is it? His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. In the whole of history, nobody has done that. Only Jesus. Because only Jesus knows his death date on Passover. 3 days later, he said, just as he has said, I will rise again from the dead. And it happened. Friends, only a mad person will do that. Or his name is Jesus. Jesus defeated death with his own death. And through his death, gathers all people to himself. His resurrection is the greatest act of inclusion, proving that no one is beyond his grace. To a holy God, a sin is a sin. It doesn't matter whether, I mean, it matters to us, but it doesn't matter to God. Whether you are a murderer, or you are a drug trafficker, or you commit some other sin, or you tell a lie, or you commit adultery in your brain or in your mind, or you are jealous about some the possessions of your neighbor. Well, my neighbor bought a new car, so I must also buy a new car. Or the bungalow next door just dig a swimming pool, so I must also have a swimming pool. It doesn't matter. A sin is a sin. It is called covetousness, by the way. If you are jealous about what others have and you want it, and you want to take it, that is covetousness. We are all sinners, period. We are sinners one way or another. The death and resurrection of Christ is for us sinners. No one is beyond his grace, no matter how great a sinner. God can and he will save you. How do we respond? Receive the rest of Jesus. Are you still trying to earn your way to God by trying to be holy? We can never earn our way to heaven because God is holy and he demands sinlessness. Jesus has already done the work. He already died on the cross. Trust in him for true rest. The cure for restlessness is trust in Jesus. This is not just for unbelievers. This is also for the Christian. Christians, if you are restless, trust in Jesus. Secondly, we must respond by embracing outsiders. The resurrection is for all people. Who in your life needs to experience the love of Jesus? Open the door for him. Who in your life feels like an outsider? Show them the love of Christ. Break down barriers. Don't stonewall. Break down barriers. The resurrection of Jesus means no one is beyond his grace. Treat everyone with dignity. Rest in Jesus. Stop striving for your worth. Jesus already invites you in just as you are. So if your schedule has an empty slot, it is fine. If there's a window in your schedule, it is fine. Go and take a sleep. Go and rest. Or if you already have enough sleep, go and spend some moments with God, with your Bible. And ask God to speak to you. It is all right. Lastly, we must serve like Jesus. As Jesus served us, we are called to serve others with his love and his grace. Friends, this is our rightful response to the serving King of the Sabbath. So many of us are restless. I know you want to chong to lunch already. But before we do that, let's spend some time in prayer. Okay, shall we pray? Let us dim the lights, close our eyes, bow your heads. I want to give you an opportunity to respond to God. If you feel restless, tell the Lord about it. Ask God to show it to you. Invite Jesus to your restlessness. If you are not yet a believer, you heard about how Jesus died for you, and you want to believe in Jesus so that you can have this spiritual rest, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to God. I want to pray for you. So seated where you are with all our heads bowed, our eyes closed, if you want to receive Jesus as your Savior, put up your hand and put it down. Is there anyone? I see a hand. I see your hand. Any more? God sees your heart. I see your hand. I want to help you by leading you in prayer. Anyone? Any more? Last call? Let us pray together. If you have put up your hand to receive Jesus as your Savior, follow what I pray in your heart. Father, we thank you. I thank you for sending Jesus to be my Savior. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I need Jesus. I believe that Jesus will take away my sins. Thank you. Help me to obey your Holy Spirit as you lead and guide me. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you sent Jesus to take away our restlessness. Lord, help us to understand that you are the living and true God. Help us understand that in you, you have good plans and you are unfolding your plans in our lives. Lord, we come back to you. Remove all fear from us and increase our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can experience rest in our inner man. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.